morning, everyone. Our reading comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ruth, very much. Just to say, as we've been working through Colossians, if you miss any of the sermons, they are on the website, and it's a good way of catching up. They're under resources, audio, and visual, I think, something like that. But they're really easy to find, and it's what I do when I miss one, which is not very often, but it does happen occasionally. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you love to speak to your people. We pray that you would help us to understand afresh what it means to be the individuals and the church you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Why should you stay at Christ Church St Andrews? Well, there's an interesting question, isn't it? How do you know that this is the type of church that you should be part of? It's a very big question, isn't it? And we'll have all sorts of answers, but fortunately, we're going to look today at what the Bible says is the answer to that question. Paul, as we saw last week, was delighted to show how great Christ is. He used extravagant language to show us the glory of Christ. And then what he's going to do this week is make sure that we don't lose track of Christ. Because if he's so glorious, if he's so amazing, the one thing we don't want to do is lose track of him. And it seems that in Colossae, that's what they were in danger of doing. I tell you, verse 4, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. What had happened is that it seems that people had come in, new teachers, who said they had a new way of doing things. They were persuasive. They had an impressive ministry, as chapter 4 will show, and they had were getting a following. And so the challenge in the first century is exactly the same as the challenge today, actually, which is that the temptation is always to move away from Jesus. And sadly, we have evidence that churches can do that. If you look back at some of the churches that were much used by God in the 19th and 20th century, some of the sadness is to see how few people are there now and how the ministry isn't Jesus-centered anymore. So Paul wants us to be sure. So at the end of this, I hope you'll be sure that Christ Church and Andrews is a church you should be at. If it isn't, then come and see me and we'll talk about it. So, what should we look for? What is the nature of true ministry? How do we determine whether the church family we're a member of is on the right track? That the leaders we trust are leaders we should trust. So the first thing Paul says is that it should be a servant ministry. Verse 25, I have become its, and that's the church, servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Paul says ministry means service. He often described himself as a servant of God. And now in Colossians, he says he's both a servant of the gospel, we saw that last week, and a servant of the church. And when he describes what that means, he says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Paul cannot take servant ministry in the church away from being a servant of the word. He says you have to be both. A church, a true church, a church that God will work through, has to have that servant-heartedness. A servant-heartedness that means we serve God, the one who called, equips, and sustains us. But a servant-heartedness that means that we are willing to present the word of God in its fullness. We'll come back to that in a minute. The whole center of true ministry is servanthood. We know that because Paul writes in Philippians 2 that Christ chose to be a servant. You and I, if we are to look for a church, should find a church where the leadership expects to serve. Now in Colossae, what was actually happening was that the teachers who were coming in were saying, actually, some of us don't need to serve because we're the special ones. We're the ones who've got the special insight. We'll tell you. And Paul says, no. That's not the way it works. That's why he goes on in verse 26 to say, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul wants us to understand that before Christ, there was a bit of a mystery. How was God going to bring about what he wanted to do? But now that you and I are privileged to be post-Christ, mystery is all revealed. How many of you read the end of a book to find out what the revealing is before you've read all of the rest? There will be some who won't admit it. Oh, very brave. Well done, you did admit it. We don't need to do that. We're in the privilege of place, post-Christ, to have had it all revealed, how God was going to reconcile us to himself. In ages past, that was a mystery, but now it's disclosed to the Lord's people. And there is not an elite here. All of us can have that knowledge. Paul knows that a true ministry is servant-hearted. True ministry is servant-hearted. But secondly, true ministry is also a ministry of the word. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Paul here isn't talking about fullness in the terms of getting it out to everywhere. He does that in Romans. But here he's talking fullness in the terms of making sure that everybody can understand what God is about. He wants people to have the full gospel, the complete Christian message. Paul knows that unless we explain the written word, the Bible, we will never understand the living word, Jesus. He knows that unless we engage with this book, we will never get to know Jesus better. Now, of course, God can do extraordinary things. God can make himself known to us in extraordinary ways. But what is his normal way of us getting to know Jesus better? Well, you have to read this. You may imagine that one of the conversations I sometimes have with a number of people is where they go, Anthony, we just want to know Jesus a bit better. And then I ask them, and how often do you read the Bible? They go, well, I don't do that. One of my school reports, I had some cracking school reports. Anthony will do well to curb his happy-go-lucky nature into sustained effort. That was classic. But another one was written on an essay where it said, this is a really good essay if it just had some facts in it. So many Christians want to get to know Jesus, but don't want to actually engage with how God tells us to get to know him. It is in the Word of God, in its fullness, that we get to know the real Jesus. Because God has been so good to us as a church family, a number of other church leaders are just coming to talk to me a bit about, well, what's going on? Why have you got to where you've got to? What's happened? And I talk about how we try and make sure that every ministry is word-focused. So that the South Room, although it's a ministry to meet the needs, we want it to be done in a word, in line with the Word of God. The food larder, the same. And I sometimes ask them, if I'm feeling particularly bold, how much time do you spend on your sermon prep? I am often shocked by how little. When I say, that's where you've got to start the change. Oh no, we're too late to do that. Paul knows that the nature of true ministry is that it is servant-hearted and word-centered. But it is also a ministry that brings maturity. Verse 28, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Notice, he doesn't say so that we may present some fully mature in Christ. He says everyone. The expectation in Paul's life and ministry is that everybody will be growing in maturity. Not just one or two, but actually all those who are willing to and open to growing and learning. Maturity means getting to know Jesus better and then living as he wants us to live. And notice what it takes, admonishing and teaching everyone. Hold on a minute, Anthony, admonishing? That doesn't sound very much fun, thank you very much. How often do you like to be admonished? Not a lot, let me guess. But isn't that what God does? When the word of God is preached, how often do you go and think, gosh, God's just challenged me to change something, to do something different? That's what admonishing means. It doesn't mean having somebody sort of wag their finger at us. It's the work God does as we engage with the Word of God. He changes us. He teaches us so we will know Him better. This whole journey of having a ministry, a true ministry that is servant-hearted, that is word-centered, that is bringing maturity. A couple of weeks ago, I led a Bible study on 1 Kings 8, and I thought I did a really terrible job. I walked out of the house that I'd led it in just utterly depressed at how bad I'd done. As I walked out, a couple who have been Christians many years came out and went, "Anthony, that's so brilliant. I've learned so much more than I ever knew." And I'm sitting there thinking, standing there thinking, well, there's the grace of God for you, because I didn't think anybody could have learned anything. God is a God who loves it when we mature. And one of my great delights has been to look around and see people of all ages and all maturities beginning to grow to be more like Jesus, beginning to grow to be more mature, knowing Him better. You and I, if we want to be in a church that God can do amazing things through, needs to encourage our leaders that they will be servant-hearted, word-centered, aiming for people to be mature, focused on Jesus. Notice those first few words of verse 28. He is the one we proclaim. It is very easy for churches and us as individuals to get distracted from Jesus. I love what we're doing in the South Room. I love what we're doing in the food larder. I love what we're doing with the Ukrainian refugees. But I don't want that to become the focus of all we do. I want Christ to be the focus. I've seen churches where they have been overwhelmed by their desire to meet need, and actually Christ has subtly been distracted from. We need to be a church family, as do all churches, where our focus is on proclaiming Christ. What an immense privilege that is, that you and I have the privilege of proclaiming Christ, the one who is in us, the one is that who is our hope of glory. Paul doesn't want us, doesn't want the Colossians or us to be led astray. And so he says, we need to be, every church needs to be a church family which is committed to this, committed to servanthood, committed to having Christ at the center, the Word of God at the center, committed to maturity, committed to focusing on Christ. But he's also very realistic. And I love his realism. Because he also says, if you're going to do ministry properly, it's going to at times be hard work. As a church family, we have to recognize that sometimes doing Christian work is not easy. Shall I let you into a little secret? If you ask your home group leaders are really worried now. If you ask your home group leader, do they always find it a joy to lead the group? If they are perfectly truthful, they will say sometimes it's hard work. Paul recognized that in verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. That's a bit of an odd verse, isn't it? We who've been told the cross is a completed work are thinking, hold on a minute, what's going on here? What Paul is saying is that for the work of Christ to continue, it is costly. And sometimes he bears the cost of the ministry. You and I have to recognize that, yes, the cross of Christ wins our reconciliation. But Christ is in the physical body, has never been in Herne Bay. You and I are here to do his work. That's how we fill up what is still lacking. That's our role. And so you and I have to recognize that sometimes Christian ministry, doing what God wants us to do, is not easy. And we need to pray for our leaders that they will keep going. And here is what we could pray. Verse 29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. I love this verse. Notice what Paul says. Not that I'm working hard in my own strength, but Christ energizes me to do the work that he wants me to do. When you're at those times where you're thinking, Lord, I really don't want to do this, ask for his energy. Lord, give me the energy to do what I need to do. Do you know, I prayed that at 6:06 this morning when I got the text saying Andy had COVID. He rightly told me as early as he possibly could. I did think, oh bother. And I was sad for him, but maybe more for myself. But there we go. Let's not go there. No, I was sad for him. Paul knows, you see, that true ministry is sometimes hard graft. It takes time and effort to teach God's word, to see people mature, to admonish and teach wisely. It's easy to do it foolishly, but wisely. If we want to be in a place where we will grow as an individual, we need a church and a leadership of a church that takes Paul's vision here seriously. Well, how will we know if a church is like that? Well, Paul tells us, which is really helpful. Here it is. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and desire to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is. Sorry, I need to go back. Verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they might have the full riches of complete understanding. Paul says the first sign is unity. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Paul recognizes that ultimately we don't have to be uniform, but we do have to be united. And that balance is really helpful. And actually, word ministry focus leading to maturity will actually bring unity. One of the things I've been absolutely privileged with here is that unity that we've had. And I see that as God's good gift to us. But it's also a sign that other things are in the right place. But if there is to be maturity, there is also to be stability. Sorry, there's to be unity, there's also to be stability. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. If I ask you this morning, if you look back a year, is your faith firmer than it was a year ago? Is it more stable? I would hope your answer would be yes. Now, all of us have our own personal responsibility, of course, but if we are in a place in a church family where the desire is to be servant-hearted, to be focused on the word, to see maturity come, to be focused on Christ, to keep going whatever the cost, then Paul says we should see unity and stability in the church family. I don't know whether you feel that you have a role in Christchurch St Andrews. If you don't and you want one, on the board at the back, on the right-hand side, is the brand new Opportunities to Serve board. You can go there and it will tell you who you can contact. It's brilliant, he said. And next week, because I ran out of time this morning, there will be coloured stars on the places where there are current vacancies. Please do have a look. Maturity comes from serving as well. But if we want to be the church family God wants us to be, we need to pray for all our leaders that they will understand and do ministry as God would have it done. That they would be servant-hearted, that they would be wanting to present the gospel, the good news of Jesus in all its fullness, that they would want to see people mature, that they would want to pay the price, keep going in that ministry, and above all, that they would be focused in Jesus. Because then all of us will be. And the more we focus on Jesus, the more we will be the people and the church he wants us to be. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to know the Lord Jesus. For those here today who perhaps aren't sure that they know him, we pray that as he is proclaimed by us, you by your Spirit will bring new life. And we pray for us as individuals and as a church family that we would more and more want to be the people and the church family you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing. We're going to sing This I Believe.